Magnet Hospitals, and Happy Nurses on this week's Insights in Nursing. Welcome back to another episode of Insights in Nursing. I'm your primary host, Jamie Davis, who also hosts the Nursing Show podcast and a variety of other things over at the ProMed Network. And of each week, we'll be joined by a panel of nurses, sometimes larger than others. But this week, we've got a really nice, trio of great people to have on the show, including myself. I guess that's a little too much blowing my own horn, but we will have also good commentary from people that we've had on the show in the past. And I'm really happy to welcome back Susan Binden. This is your second time here on the Insights, so the first time wasn't a fluke.
Thank you, Jamie. Glad to be here.
And Susan, just to clarify, you are the I lost the email with your stuff written on it. Would you like to tell us what you do and where you work?
Sure, thank you. I am an education consultant, senior consultant at LifeBridge Health in Baltimore, Maryland. And LifeBridge is made up of four facilities. We have an acute care magnet urban hospital, a community-based hospital, and also two long-term care centers associated with LifeBridge Health.
And great. And you were on our landmark education episode 2 weeks ago. Of course, last week we were off as I was traveling last week. But we had a really good discussion. And that episode actually ended up getting featured in Johnson & Johnson's Nursing Notes newsletter, which goes out to like 35,000 nurses and students each month.
Terrific. Thank you.
Always glad to help. It's really exciting to be able to get this information out there. And I was glad and thankful that Johnson & Johnson were so gracious to include that in their newsletter. And it just kind of worked out that topic was going to work into their August newsletter on education. So it all kind of came together. And we also have our longtime friend and panelist, Kim McAllister from the Emergeblog. Kim, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's good to be back.
Yeah, and you were on that episode, the education episode, too, and it was just a fantastic discussion.
That was a great episode. I just stayed as quiet as I possibly could, and I was just listening because I was getting more information out of that than I imagined. It was just an amazing addition.
So you're already planning on jumping back in and getting your next degree, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to start actually in January. I figured... But part of me really wants to start in September, meaning like in 10 days. But I'm going to give myself 6 months just to actually get through a holiday without any finals and papers due. And I'm going back in January.
Yeah, that's I remember, coming out of nursing school, people were like, you need to go on and get your master's degree. It's going to be great. And all I could think of was, oh, I can't do another 3 years of school like that.
Yeah, well, my problem is I really want to do it really badly. And I'm making myself not do it for 6 months just so I can, take a breather. But I'm about 75% of me really wants to, sign up and get started. So I'm just making myself be mellow, for 6 months.
Well, on behalf of your family, because I'm sure they're glad that you're going to be sane during the holidays.
Well, that's all relative.
It always is.
Yep.
Well, we had a great discussion on education last week, but really this week we're back into our normal routine of bringing up a couple of articles recently in the news that might be affecting healthcare or nursing, and talking a little bit about what those topics mean to the average nurse in whatever their career path. And so I brought Susan on primarily to talk about the recent study that came out, I believe from University of Maryland's School of Nursing. And it was a study looking at magnet hospitals and whether merely working at a magnet hospital meant that you were more satisfied with your job, that you had better work conditions. And seemed like an odd assumption to me for this study, because the magnet status is about patient care. It's not about happy nurses. And so, Susan, what were your thoughts when you looked at that study?
Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely caught my eye, came across my email. And, I think with any research, and as nurses are, really compelled to be consumers of research, I think, a careful reading, an objective reading of it. And again, MAGNET has so many aspects about it: patient care, nurse happiness, all kinds of things, and recruitment and retention. So, I do think that the working conditions may or may not be part of what MAGNET is all about. And I guess, I've talked with a couple colleagues as well. My thoughts, like I said, would be to read it carefully and take a look at it and see if it really does make a difference. And I think the authors did a nice job in the last paragraph saying that with research, you take it and you use it. You help make decisions with it. It may not be completely black and white. It's just evidence, and it's a piece of information that we use. So in a general sense, that was my takeaway from the article. Anything that we learn that helps us make nurses' lives better and makes patients' lives better is useful. That's my general comment about the article.
And Sinai is a MAGNET center, in at least in some of its departments. Is that correct?
Sinai is a MAGNET hospital, yes.
Yes. Yeah. And so, I know, and actually, your system was rated very highly for nurse employee satisfaction, I think. So, it can be done right. It just, it's part of a whole process.
In fact, LifeBridge made the Fortune 100 list of best places to work this year. So we're extremely proud of that.
Yeah, I noticed that on the site, and that's mm-hmm. So obviously you guys are doing it right. It's but it doesn't necessarily make it guaranteed because, of course, the focus can be on a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Kim, what was your thoughts when you looked at this? I mean, you've been in nursing for a long time and seen many different initiatives come and go for patient care, for happier nurses. And what's your take on what makes a happier nurse employee?
Well, first of all, with the MAGNET designation, I've never worked in a MAGNET facility, but my understanding was the whole term of MAGNET was to draw and retain top nursing personnel. That's why it's called a MAGNET. And that was the whole, my understanding was that was the entire reason a hospital would become a MAGNET hospital, was because they wanted to be able to hire top nursing personnel, and they wanted to retain those nurses. So, and then it follows that if you have adequate nursing staff and you make their work environment more conducive to being able to practice their nursing care, then you're going to have more satisfied patients. I'm looking at this article, and it's talking about the work and role of nursing may be improved, but its consideration of nurses' work schedules is not really incorporated. It's like, well, gosh, people, we're nurses. If we work in a hospital facility, it's a 24-hour staffing issue every day of the year. And, the issue with nursing work schedules is a problem every hospital looks at, and I'm not sure that because a MAGNET hospital doesn't necessarily look at the nurse's work schedule, that makes a big difference in whether or not they're a successful MAGNET hospital. If my understanding was also that in MAGNET hospitals, they put a very high value on nursing education. They mm-hmm. promote nursing education with their staff. And nurses have a higher say, more of a role in the management of their department. And so the fact that they seem to be focusing on nurses' schedules may not be perfect. Well, tell me where they are, and I'll go there right away. I think it's just inherent in the staffing issues and the staffing problems for any facility. But to me, MAGNET, the whole MAGNET designation wasn't let's draw in patients, let's pull in doctors. The whole magnet process was all about nursing. That was my understanding. Now, if they're getting away from that, and granted, if it's about nurses, then it is also about patients, because that's who's taking care of the patients is the nurses. But I don't understand where they're getting away from this magnet designation necessarily not being about nurses.
Is that true, Susan? You know, magnet status. I always knew that it had to do with a higher caliber of facility, but I didn't actually realize that it was really targeted specifically at nurses or bringing in, a higher. I guess I knew that it was about higher staffing acuity as far as the level of education of the staff. But was it really focused? Is it do you all really focus on your nursing staff exclusively with regards to your magnet status?
Well, I think it definitely starts with nursing, and you know, magnet is to create the best environment for nursing as far as giving bedside nurses a voice, having them involved at the decision-making level, which is very evident, and creating the best learning environment and professionalism. All of those pieces go together to make it. You know, the idea again of a magnet hospital is to make it a great place where nurses want to work. That's the idea. And in doing so, you know, other benefits are increased physician satisfaction, increased patient satisfaction, all of those things, different measures of turnover, vacancy, retention, things like that. But Magnet, you know, it comes from the American Nurses Credentialing Center, and it is very, very nursing-oriented, yes.
So what are some of the things, Kim, if a hospital doesn't have magnet status, but wants to be, keep your nurses happy, what has been your experience? Has been some of the things that a hospital can do right to retain nurses? Maybe they are a magnet hospital. Maybe they just are still having retention issues. What's something that you'd recommend to keep the nurses coming back and coming to work every day?
Gosh, on the day-to-day level, decent staffing. I mean, in California, we have the nurse-patient ratio, which is, for the most part, pretty decent, except that sometimes it comes back to bite you in the rear end when nurses are sent home early because instead of being allowed to stay on their shift, because, if we can have one nurse for four patients and we have, an extra nurse who might only have two patients, well, let's just send them home, that sort of thing. But for the most part, we have pretty decent staffing. So the nurse-patient ratio is good. The hospitals that have been best to work in have been the ones that encourage nurses to be involved beyond their 8 hours of, basic nursing care. They have a say in how the department is functioning. They feel valued. You can put up with a lot of maybe not perfect conditions if you get the sense that nurses are respected, that their opinions are valued. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have the best equipment and the biggest facility. But I guess it's basically how the nurses feel treated. If you think that you're just another body and interchangeable and they treat you like that, it's not as pleasant to work in as a facility that encourages personal growth and a lot of teamwork. Teamwork mainly. Nurses don't work alone. We may do our patient care individually and be individually responsible for our patients, but we don't work alone. And hospitals are units that facilitate a really strong sense of team have been the best places for me, at least.
Susan, what about your thoughts on this? I mean, you're actively involved in helping with the education of your of your staff there. So obviously, keeping them motivated to learn is one way to keep them involved and coming back.
Exactly.
Does that work really well in your situation?
I think so, and I would put many of the things that
that's
that
a loaded question to ask you, given your position, isn't it?
Well, the basket of professional development for nurses has so many things in it. Encouraging nurses again to to not only join a committee, but lead a committee, to be involved in a multifunctional team, as Kim mentioned, to attend conferences, to earn points doing different activities to allow them to go to the Magnet Conference, or to present a poster at a regional site, or to, we've talked about going back to school, or teaching a class, or writing an article, or whatever kind of support they need for their own professional development, is just a great opportunity to get nurses excited and engaged. And the best part about it is they come back and tell their colleagues, gee, this is interesting. Gee, look at this article. Let's do something. So all of that kind of bundles in, and you get nursing excellence, and people start talking best practice, and they start looking at quality, and those are all great things. But I think it comes from creating that environment that encourages nurses to be professional, not to clock in, clock out, but to what else? What else can I do as a professional nurse? And that can only be a good thing, I think.
Well,
I
agree.
In any setting, yeah.
I think that goes true, I think, for any workplace.
Exactly.
You need to encourage them to continue to be professionally satisfied, mm-hmm. and I don't care if that career is a carpenter. That person, if you encourage them to continue to develop their skills and give them challenges and opportunities to excel, people in any workplace are going to be more satisfied. Don't you agree, Kim?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so much more than just going in and putting in your 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Although we can absolutely get into that rut very, very easily. And I was in that rut for, I want to say decades. I'm just not that old. Where you have blinders on, you go in, you do your 8 hours, and God forbid you should have to do any nursing, thinking about nursing outside the doors, of the hospital. But and you can easily, unless you get that the opportunities for that increased stimulation of, hey, this is interesting, or meeting with other nurses, or having a camaraderie, or attending conferences. Oh my God, that's probably the best thing that you could do to re-energize yourself. Unfortunately, they're all over the country and they tend to be expensive, but it is so worth it to attend if you're, whatever conference you want to, if it's your specialty or not, that's probably the best way to do it. It's quick. It's 2 or 3 days a year, but boy, you get the benefits from that far, far go on. I'm not speaking very well today, that linger far after that conference.
It's interesting. I mean, I go to a lot of conferences, being dual careered and doing a lot of different things. I go to conferences for just about everything I'm involved with. And I'm a lot of people think, oh, a conference, I have to go, and it's about the education, the formal educational sessions. And that's an important part, especially for a profession like nursing, where you can really get into a much more in-depth understanding of your specialty. But I'll tell you, the thing I go to conferences for the most is the opportunities to network, to meet people, to find that next mentor for a next stage of my life, or to get a solution for a problem I'm having or my facility's having with regards to patient care or whatever the case may be, and from somebody who's already solved the problem. And that's something you really get when you go to a regional or national conference. You get to meet people from other places who have the same problems, which is a great way of unifying. Misery loves company sometimes, but also to see what their solutions are for those same problems, and seeing if those solutions would possibly work for you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Jamie. And sometimes one of the outcomes is the nurses will come back from a conference and say, I can do that. I went to a session and I've been thinking about the same idea, and I want to be up there next year. And just the idea that they're in the game. And sometimes you go to a conference and you realize that what you're doing in your hospital is right on target. And that's very validating too. And you come home and say, we're doing great.
And another thing that I've just been recently thinking about, as I've been thinking about some upcoming Emergency Nurses Association conferences, is there's a lot of local opportunities too. There's, for instance, I belong to the Emergency Nurses Association, and their yearly conference is in San Antonio next month. And while I may not be able to get to that, there's certainly a very active local chapters of your professional organizations that you can also get involved in. I belong to the the Association of California Nurse Leaders. Not that I'm necessarily a leader, but it sure is a fantastic organization. And the local chapters is where basically all the action is happening. And just attending a 1-hour, 2-hour local meeting over dinner will give you an amazing amount of ideas, because there's oftentimes 8-9 different facilities represented at these meetings. So it doesn't always have to be a national conference. You can look, you know, in your own county and find your local organizations doing a lot of the same work that they're doing at the national level.
I'll put in a quick plug here, because I don't know if you noticed the Twitter post I put out just before the show started, Kim, but the Nursing at Sea cruise is finally available. We finally pulled it together. I'm putting together a nurse podcast listener cruise to bring nurses together, and people listen to my show and other shows, and we're going to actually have some conference CE associated with that too. 8 hours of different continuing education in a variety of topic areas. But I'm really excited about that. And your mentioning of different types of conferences, local conferences, and more non-traditional things made me think of that, because it's been on my brain all morning trying to work on letting people know about that. And I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And heck, it's a cruise. So how can you go wrong?
Well, details, buddy.
All
where
right.
is it?
Nursingatsea.com. So okay. I'm putting it together. Actually, Chris Christensen, who runs the Amateur Traveler podcast, so I really got the expert on my side. He helped. We've been working on this for almost a year. We talked about it at Blog World last year in October, and we've been meeting off and on about it. And he brought in a travel agent he knows, so she's going to be handling all of the cruise bookings. We've got a night before meetup at the hotel, including transportation from the airport to the hotel and from the hotel to the cruise. So you don't have to worry about that if you want to come in the night before. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. And Paul Bond from the Emergency Nursing Today podcast is going to be handling all of the continuing education. He's got his own online CE company, so he's going to go ahead and bring in the materials and handle the educational sessions. And most importantly, it's just going to be a great opportunity to get together with other nurses and hang out. We'll all eat together at dinner every night, and then the rest of the day will really be up to you to do whatever you want. We're going to be 7 days. Let me look at the details here. I think.
Wow, and the price is really reasonable.
Yeah, well, that was the thing that got me excited. I mean, the market is so depressed right now for travel that it really, the pricing for a 7-day cruise to leaves out of Miami, travels to Puerto or Costa Maya, Mexico, Belize City in Belize, Cozumel, Georgetown, Grand Cayman, and it spends a day at sea on the way out from Miami and on the way back to Miami. And so there'll be 4 hours each of those sea days. In the afternoon, we'll get together and do a little bit of learning, but ultimately just have some fun and get to meet other nurses. I'm hoping, I've got to contact the cruise line and see if I can line this up, but I'd love to talk to one of the nurses that works on the cruise line, maybe bring her in and have her chat with the group briefly and talk about what she does as a nurse on a cruise ship, because that's something I think people might be very intrigued by.
That would be very exciting. I know I was on a cruise, Caribbean cruise back in, I want to say 89. And I went down to actually, talk to the nurses. They had a full ICU going on down there. Unfortunately, they also had patients in that ICU on board, so there wasn't a lot of time to talk. But that would be just a really neat thing to hear, because that's not something we all have an opportunity to do.
No, and I think I just am trying to look for other opportunities. I think, this is our first time out. Obviously, if it's successful, we'd like to do it again. Maybe next time, maybe go and talk to nurses in one of the ports that we go to, you know, have an opportunity to tour a facility or something for those that want to do that. Just as an option to just see what different places are doing for different things and get an appreciation for different parts of the world. And so we'll have to see. But again, the pricing, I think, is awesome. You're responsible for your own airfare. But other than that, the cruise pricing is good. I think the price of the cruise. And then, you know, you can opt to purchase the conference package in addition. So there's like a three-part process. You book the cruise. You look and see if you want to fly in the night before, which the cruise, actually the travel agent recommends, just because if your flight gets canceled, you don't lose your cruise money because the ship sails whether you get there or not. So, but if you fly in the night before, you can relax. And then we're providing all the transportation, shuttle buses from the hotel to the cruise the morning of. So, and a meet up the night before where we can all get together and meet each other before the cruise even gets started. So anyway, Susan's probably going, all right, we're talking about cruises now.
Well, that was a bit of a detour I wasn't expecting.
I'm sorry. We were talking about non-traditional conferences and regional conferences, and I was like, well, this is non-traditional. Susan, are you still there? Have you zoned out completely? Uh-oh. Maybe I lost Susan.
Oh, jeez.
I was kidding. Oh, no.
Maybe she ran off to book the cruise.
Oh, jeez.
And then...
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Jamie.
We were like, oh, she hung up. We were talking about going on a cruise, and she left to go on a cruise.
I'm so sorry. It was like somebody had cut my wire. It was like dead.
Well, you were still showing up here on my, because I have a screen on the computer that shows all the conference callers. And so you were still on there. And
it's so weird because I'm not even on speaker or anything. I'm just sitting here.
Oh, that's so bizarre.
It just dropped.
It's Skype. That's what I use to do the conference call. So sometimes Skype does weird things. It's probably happening.
Probably a bird or something.
A bird. Well, anyway, we'll get back into the discussion. We were just talking about the cruise coming up, and we're excited about that.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We'll move into our next topic. Enough talking about the cruise. Anyone who wants to find out more about the cruise, go to nursingatsea.com and feel free to email me directly if you have any specific questions. But we're looking forward to having a good time. Let's jump into our next topic. I think, you know, the Magnet Hospital situation, I think, is something that will continue to develop. This is an interesting study that we looked at, but certainly I think we've come to realize that just because you have a label on your hospital and certain standards that you've achieved doesn't mean that all the nurses are happy there. But let's look at nurses that are really reaching out. This next story was about a Hopkins nurse in Baltimore City. She's the assistant professor, Sarah Santon, and she's from the Johns Hopkins University School of Nursing. And I love articles like this because it just shows nurses really focusing on what nursing's all about, which is caring for the community and reaching out. And so she's looking at helping low-income older adults be able to live at home longer and have safer, healthier lives later into life. And, you know, it's all about optimum health care and maintaining people at their best possible level of health, which has been the focus of nursing since the very beginning.
Absolutely. And when I look at this article, it's kind of like this goes on. I mean, it's wonderful. I would like to see it actually in a news site or newspaper, if they still exist anywhere, because this is the epitome of what nurses do in the community every single day. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that a lot of people, unless they're a recipient of these services, realize that nursing, you know, takes place outside those hospital doors on a regular basis and more frequently outside those hospital doors. But yeah, this is a great article just showing how a nurse basically very holistically sees all aspects of the patient's life and works on, you know, a lot of the environment of the patient. And, you know, it's a kind of great article.
And Susan, you were talking about being able to look at research objectively and be involved in research as a nursing professional. And one of the things I like is that this is also part of a study. She's trying to examine some of the better interventions that will help a nurse achieve, help a nurse achieve some of that optimal health levels for patients in a community setting. And I know you were mentioning that earlier, talking about, you know, the importance of research. Do you encourage people to look at opportunities for this type of research project?
I certainly would. What I liked about it was the practicalness, if I may, of the study. You know, it's tangible. We all have elderly family members. This matters to all of us of a certain age. You know, we have children on one end and parents on the other, and research like this where we can learn and put into place some of our nursing skills is just tremendous. One of my favorite parts of this study, it was talking about Mrs. G, one of her success stories. Mrs. G is 68, and it says Mrs. G is taking care of her elderly mother. You know, and 68 used to be elderly, and this lady's mother must be, you know, 88.
But, uh-huh, exactly.
And still working it, and any help, you know, we as nurses can offer community members like this is just exciting. It's humbling, actually.
Well, and it's the fix. It's one of the solutions for, you know, the crumbling portions of our healthcare system. You know, there's lots of debates on, you know, about certain aspects of healthcare reform, but it ultimately comes down to individual professionals in the healthcare system finding solutions that work for their communities. And that's one of the things I love about this is, you know, just the simple practical nature of some of these things that she's come up with for her patients.
Mm-hmm. And one of the interesting things, the key is that Mrs. G, by the time the interventions were completed or she'd finished her involvement with the nurse, she was not going to physical therapy. She was exercising on her own. It wasn't like forever and ever she needed this nursing care. It was like once the interventions were done, she was extremely independent. And it was like, thank you. Now I can go on. I have the skills and the tools to keep myself healthy and make myself healthier because of the interventions, which is the whole goal, is to get the patient in as prime condition as possible to care for themselves as much as possible. So it's a very a positive ending to this article.
It's interesting. I was reason I was away last week, I was at a conference called the International Roundtable for Community Paramedicine. And, because that's my other hat. I'm also a paramedic. And so I one of the things that we was very rural focused, but there were some discussions of urban applications. And one of the things that constantly came up was connecting people to resources already in place in the community. And so as I covered that event, you know, there were public health nurses there. There were nurses from different rural hospital facilities there as part of this whole program to say, yes, how often do we discharge a patient home with that standard pre-printed set of orders that says, contact your primary care physician 2 days after you leave the hospital and make an appointment over the next week. And how often do people actually even ask to see if they have a primary care physician? And if they don't, what other solution is offered to them? Because obviously, if there's a problem, they just end up back in the ER.
Absolutely. And I'll go, that's a standard, sort of a standard discharge instruction. And I'll go in the ER to ask, you know, ask my patients, by the way, who is your doctor? Oh, I don't have one.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, well, in that case, you know, I usually refer both. I'll either refer them to the county clinic system. If they don't have insurance, I give that as an option for them. But I also give them a list of the local internists or pediatricians, depending on the age of the patient. And then it's even more difficult because if you don't already have a physician, it's not always easy to get that first appointment within a week. because I tell them, I always tell them, make sure you let them know that this is an emergency department follow-up referral, hoping that maybe that'll get them past the, quote, gatekeeper, unquote, and get them a appointment on the sooner side rather than the later side. But again, we always tell them, if you have any issues, you know, certainly you can come back to the ER. I don't know that they necessarily have to do that, but if they need a follow-up or they don't have a doctor or they need a wound check in 2 days, that's a lot of times they'll need to come back and see us.
But you have to ask the question first. And
yes.
How often do nurses just read through that list? Patients' eyes are glazed over anyway because they just want to go home. And so, I mean, seriously, it's the truth. We all know this. And if you don't ask the question, I mean, it's part of the patient education process is to evaluate the effectiveness of your education. And
if you don't
ask the question, how did you know if you even made any impact with what you were reading this list of? Now you call this number if there's a problem and this is what you're looking for. And go home.
Exactly. A lot of times I'll even tell patients to, you know, here's the instructions. They may look overwhelming right now, but put this on the kitchen table, read it tomorrow over a cup of coffee, you know, and when they have a chance to actually sit back and assimilate the fact that they were in the ER, they were probably injured or sick, and to be handed a sheaf of sometimes up to 10 pages of instructions. And then here you go. Everything's written down, and they're like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Susan, what are your thoughts on this? You know, as you educate nurses in your system and help them to become better nurses in your facilities, do you find that there are ways to improve the process of not having this ball dropped or helping to encourage patients to find other resources when the traditional resources aren't available?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, the time compression is so tight and the information is so overwhelming. But I guess in the hospital, social work plays such a key role. And for a nurse to understand, not just call social work, but work with social work and really add that nursing perspective to the discharge piece. You don't have to do it alone, but do make sure that patient education, you know, you made a good point. Make sure they understood it. So in-house, learning how to work with our team members is important. And I was just thinking about nursing students. We get graduate students and undergraduates. And, you know, they when they want placements, they want the sexy things like the emergency department, the intensive care, labor and delivery. And that's great. But once in a while, we get a student who says, is there anything in the community? And I was thinking, what an opportunity for someone to work with a nurse case manager, even a social worker, a community nurse, to learn how important these small pieces are as well, and just to learn that kind of nursing. So I always try to offer things up and just, you know, be a little bit more creative and try to bring that community piece in as well, if that makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely does. And I think that one of the things that I try to make sure I bring out in all of the programming I put out there for nurses is to, especially for the newer nurses, is to say, look, you get into nursing because you think med-surg, because that's what we traditionally think of as a nurse. A nurse works on a floor in the hospital. But there are so many other different things. I mean, heck, look what I'm doing. You know,
exactly.
This is certainly non-traditional nursing, but I think that there are lots of different ways to reach out, and whether it's blogging or community outreach or helping with a hospital social media program and health outreach. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there to do different things that have an impact on your community.
And even that consulting role of nursing, which we don't always get an opportunity to do or recognize. I think we do it all the time. But what an opportunity for a nurse consultant to go into a community and do this kind of nursing or make people aware of these kind of services. I mean, what a relief to those family members who can take advantage.
You know, I think a lot of times in terms of new nurses who want the, quote, the sexy units, you know, in the old days, they expected you to go put your year in on med-surg before you would even basically have any right to say, I want to specialize. And that's so different now. It just, that's not how it works anymore. And we have new grads in ER. We have new grads going to labor and delivery. And so an immediate specialization. But a lot of reasons I think that the nurses don't ask or don't think about opportunities in the community. And I know this was my case, and I'd been a nurse for 30 years. I didn't realize what was in the community until I had taken my community health class for my BSN. And it was like someone just opened the doors and all these opportunities were there. I didn't get that in my associate degree program. Maybe they're doing it in associate degree programs now. I don't know. But for me, there was no concept. I knew there were public health nurses, community health nurses, but they weren't anything that I was involved with because I was so focused in the hospital itself. So I think the nurses that are more focusing on the community are the ones that actually have had exposure to nurses in the community and what they're doing. It's hard to know that the opportunities are there if you've never seen nurses in those roles.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. We should have had Christy on again this week, Susan.
I was just thinking that. I was thinking we need Christy for this.
Well, I mean, I was in that program, and I have to say I think all of the instructors at Cecil College were very big on talking about different opportunities for nursing and careers in nursing. And certainly I know we did a home care rotation. We did a community health or public health rotation. We went – actually, one of the best days I had, I spent a day with a student, with a school nurse in at middle school. And, you know, I have kids. I've interacted with school nurses on multiple occasions. But to work as a school nurse and assist a school nurse as a student was eye-opening for me because for so many kids, this was their primary healthcare source. So just, you know, unless you really think in that direction, you don't realize that what's out there. I agree with Kim. You know, there's so many different opportunities that, maybe I need to start a nursing careers podcast.
Yeah, that would be great.
I need another podcast like I need a hole in the head.
Well, actually, Jamie, you could incorporate it into the insights.
I could. You're right.
You know, if we're doing three to four insights a month, you could make one of those a focus on a particular specialty.
That is true. We can bring in different nurses from different specialties and talk, have a panel discussion about what do you like about being a urology nurse or a that's actually how I met Cora Viscara. I actually did an interview for the nursing show talking with her about infusion nursing. So you know, that's a good idea, Kim. I guess I need to put that on the schedule and see if we can't work something up for a future episode on looking at different nursing careers. But I'm glad we got a chance to talk about this article because it's one of those things that I think that we really need to raise up those nurses that are doing unique things in the community and reaching out in innovative and different ways to do what nurses are doing all the time, which is helping people feel better and become healthier. So that's one of the reasons I was really excited about this article. Well, you know, we're kind of down towards the end of our allotted time here. First off, I want to thank both of you for being on the show. Susan, it's always a pleasure. Both times you've been on, always. But anytime, I'm going to keep including you in the email list. And if you feel like you want to get on the show, you're welcome to come back on. And your insights are welcome here on Insights in Nursing. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jamie.
And again, we can find out more about LifeBridge Health at lifebridgehealth.org, correct?
That's correct. Thank you very much.
We always try to spread the love around here when we're sending out the links. So definitely.
Thanks, we appreciate that.
We'll have to maybe talk with you about your specific role, maybe focus on, educational focus within the hospital or improvement process that is part of what you do and make that a featured career path episode. So we'll have to do that.
I'd be happy to. That would be great.
And of course, Kim from the Emergiblog at emergiblog.com. And Kim, thanks again. I mean, you were here on the inaugural episode. You've been here on almost every other episode. It's great to have you.
Thank you. This is always fun. It's such a quick hour.
I have to resist because I want to respect, nurses are busy enough. I want to respect your time because we end up, you know, I could easily sit here and chat with both of you for an hour and a half, 2 hours. It would just be my pleasure to sit here and talk about nursing for that entire time frame. So it's always fun.
Very fun.
So we can find you at Emergiblog on Twitter and emergiblog.com. And if you're looking forward to getting Kim's unique perspective on nursing and healthcare, you definitely need to check out Emergiblog.
Well, thanks.
Hey, no problem. And I will put in another plug, nursingatsea.com. So if you're interested in getting together in a non-traditional setting for a little bit of education and a whole lot of fun, we're going to have the first of hopefully many nursing podcast listener get-togethers on a cruise leaving out of Miami coming up in January. And you can find all the details on that at nursingatsea.com. That's it. We'll kind of wrap up the show and thank both of you. And we'll look forward to speaking to all of you listening again next week. We try to bring the show out at least, hopefully every week on Fridays. Nurses are hard to corral sometimes. A couple times we've had to reschedule shows because everybody got called into work at the same time. So we'll hopefully be here next Friday, but always look for another episode. And of course, don't forget you can subscribe via iTunes. There's a newsletter sign up over at insightsinnursing.com. And if you want to get back in touch with us by email, you can always send me an email directly, insightsinnursing@gmail.com. And if you have a specific question for one of the panelists, I will make sure I forward it on to them so that we can get an answer for you about any of the things we've discussed. And of course, the links to both of these articles covered in this episode and all the articles in every other episode are also available on the show notes page for each episode podcast. And you'll find all of that over at insightsinnursing.com. All right, that's it for me. I will see all of you again very soon next week. And of course, don't forget, you can find me at nursingshow.com. And both Insights in Nursing and The Nursing Show and all the other associated podcasts I find myself involved with are all available over at the ProMed Network, promednetwork.com.